Well, bless your hearts. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 for a little time in the Word tonight. Romans chapter 5 to begin. Tonight we're going to look at our access to God. And beginning in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When we got born again of God's Spirit, we received rights, privileges, and abilities. And we didn't earn any of the rights, privileges, or abilities that we have. They came because Jesus Christ completely fulfilled all that was necessary for mankind's redemption and salvation. And when we got born again, we received the new birth spirit, and with that came all kinds of rights, privileges, and abilities. We just said, okay, sounds good. Confessed Romans 10, 9, and 10, and we received all rights, privileges, and abilities. And we see here in verse 1 that we have peace with God. We didn't earn peace. We probably didn't deserve peace, did we? But we have peace. And we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have it. If it says we have access, then we have access. And again, our access into this grace is not dependent upon what we did or what we didn't do. Now, we may choose to not take advantage of the access that we've been freely given, but we still have it. We still have the access. Whether or not we ever use it or utilize it or any of the new birth realities that we have, whether or not we ever take advantage of them, we still have them. And the access that we have, again, is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 18, God bless you both. Verse 18, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through the accomplished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we both, meaning those from the Judean background and those from a Gentile background, we both have access. It doesn't say we ought to obtain access, try to get access. We have access. And we have it by one Spirit. That's the new birth Spirit that we have. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Every born-again believer has access to the Heavenly Father. Every born-again believer. It's equal access for all, because we know it's all in all. We've received all spiritual blessings. All of us have received all there is. So it's equal access for all. It doesn't matter what background you're from. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what social status you have. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, young or old. Every born-again believer has access to God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. There was a commercial not too long ago for some telephone company, And towards the end of the commercial, every time they would say, "Are you connected?" Maybe you remember hearing that. "Are you connected?" They kind of said it like that. "Are you connected?" And when I heard it, I went, "Yeah, I am." We're all connected by way of the one new birth spirit. We have access to our Heavenly Father. We're hooked up, as the kids say. Isn't that wonderful? And because of what Jesus Christ did, every born-again believer has direct access to our Heavenly Father, to God Almighty. And again, we have it. We can choose to ignore it, or we can choose to utilize the access that we have. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Access to God Almighty. That's big, isn't it? I mean, what would you feel like if you had access to your bank's vault at any time? You just walk in and, I'm going to the vault. Go ahead. Well, you'd feel pretty good, wouldn't you? The Creator of the heavens and the earth. We have unlimited access at any time, day or night. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For if our heart," 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." The word that's translated condemn here is only used three times in the Bible, twice right here, and I think the other time's in Galatians. God bless you. This word means to find fault with, to note against, to blame, to think ill of, or condemn. It's a good translation. Literally, it means knowledge against. And here in this context, "For if our heart condemn us," here it's knowledge in our own heart that we hold against who? Ourselves. Ourselves, that's right. If we have knowledge in our own hearts, in our minds, that we hold against ourselves, it says that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. The knowledge that God has is far greater than any knowledge that we could hold against ourselves. We'll come back to this in a minute. Look at verse 21. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." The word confidence there is the word parhesia. It means to speak freely, to have freedom of speech, to speak all that's on one's mind, to speak holding nothing back, just everything. It's the same word that's translated at times in the book of Acts as the word boldness. Ever seen that in the book of Acts? Biblically, speaking the word of God with boldness really doesn't have anything to do with volume. Man, I was really bold. I was speaking at the top of my lungs. That's a little bit of a stretch there. Speaking the word of God with boldness doesn't really have anything to do with getting the last word in. I was really bold and I said this. Speaking the word of God with boldness doesn't necessarily have anything to do with annoying people. I was really bold. I just walked up and went, you know. Parhesia means to speak freely, to speak all that is on one's mind, to hold nothing back. It's pretty hard to do that to someone if they don't want to hear. If someone doesn't want to listen to what you have to say, it's pretty hard to parhesia, to speak all that's on your mind, to hold nothing back, because they're not listening. Now, of course, on the other hand, it's, you know, not so easy to speak all that's on your mind if you had fear of talking to someone. But, you know, when we pray for boldness to speak God's word, it's more than a prayer of courage to speak to someone. It's more of a prayer for an open door that we could speak all that's on our mind, that we could share the word with someone, that we could speak and hold nothing back to give them the great gospel of peace and deliverance. It says here in this verse, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Confidence. If we don't find fault with, if we're not holding knowledge against or blaming ourselves, having that knowledge in our heart, then we'll have what? Confidence toward God. Then we will speak freely to God. Then we'll speak openly to God. Then we will share all that's on our heart to God. It's just beautiful. Let's read verse. Go to Psalm 62. We'll come right back here, but go to Psalm 62 for a second. See, if our heart condemn us not, then we'll have confidence. We won't be ashamed to speak to our loving Heavenly Father. We won't feel guilty and having all that knowledge against ourselves makes us feel ashamed, guilty, worthless. Psalm 62. Instead of feeling that way, Psalm 62, verse 8, look at this. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Pour out your heart to Him. Pour out your heart before Him. If I had a glass up here and I just barely tilted it a little, maybe a drop or two would come out. That's just a trickle. But if I had a glass here and I went, that's pouring it all out. Pour out your heart before Him. Back to 1 John chapter 3. See, this holding knowledge against ourselves, this condemnation, is not real profitable, is it? What it does, it keeps you from speaking to God. It keeps you from going before God and pouring out your whole heart before Him. Let's go back to verse 20, 1 John 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Well, what things does He know? How does God see you? Well, what did He say? In verse 1 it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. What does God think of us? He thinks of us as His sons. God thinks of us according to what His Word says. When God sees us, He sees us righteous, justified, redeemed, at peace with Him, reconciled, lovely and acceptable, holy and without blame before Him. That's what He sees. Verse 20, For if our heart, our mind, condemns us, if we're holding junk against ourselves, thinking bad of ourselves, thinking ill of ourselves, blaming ourselves, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. What's the context? God's greater than our heart. Well, what's our heart doing? It's holding knowledge against us. Our heart is finding fault, blaming ourselves, but God is greater than our heart. What's in our heart when we're holding all that junk against ourselves? So much greater. Verse 21, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Boy, this is tremendous. If our heart condemn us not, if we're not finding fault with ourselves, if we're not blaming ourselves, if we're not thinking that we're no good, worthless, then we'll have open speaking to God. We'll be talking to Him. We'll be holding nothing back. We'll be able to pour out our heart before our great and wonderful Father. And then it says, the next verse says, and whatsoever we ask. You can't ask if you're not talking. Right? You ever go to order something, they say, can I help you? And you go, well, just a minute. Then if you just stood there, you know, can't ask if you don't talk. Got to talk. Got to ask. We won't be talking or asking if we're condemning ourselves. You know, we feel lousy when we sin, when we fall short, when we blow it. We feel lousy. But in chapter 1, look over at chapter 1 for a second. Not too far away. Chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God said. Here in chapter 3 is a little more instruction in case maybe we forgot about what He told us in chapter 1. You know, God is showing us the contrast here between our heart and the junk we're holding against ourselves and God who knows all things. And you know what? We ought to believe what God says and not what our own heart holds against us. Because God doesn't change. Remember last night? There's no variableness. There's no variableness. God does not change. His word does not change. Our new birth realities do not change. The moment we got born again, we were made righteous. And you know what? We're still righteous. And when we, you know, fall short, sin, we're still righteous. Well, no, not when I sin. Really? Boy, then we're in trouble. Then what are we going to do? I mean, if Jesus Christ paid the price so we could get born again and become righteous, and then we lost it, now where do we go? Have Jesus Christ come back and die again for us? Our new birth realities don't change. We are righteous. We are justified. We are sanctified. We are already seated in the heavenlies. We have eternal life, not temporary life. It's eternal life. Those do not change. Now, our thinking changes from time to time, doesn't it? At least mine does. I'll speak for myself. But you know something? Don't ever forget this. God's opinion of you does not change. Period. His opinion of you does not change. He sees you as His righteous child, holy and acceptable before Him. Not because of anything we did, not because of how great we walk on His word, but because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. We are righteous in His sight. The price has been paid for us to be able to stand in the presence of God without any sense of sin, guilt, condemnation, that we could just walk into the presence of God and say, hi, here I am. I know you love me. Bad as I messed up, I know you love me. God's opinion of you does not vary and it does not change. Isn't that wonderful? And God knows all things. He knows who you are. He knows you're righteous. He knows all that He made you to be in Christ. And this wonderful access that we have, again, is a result of the completed work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have access. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Man, oh man. You know, our opinion of ourselves fluctuates from time to time, right? Have a good day. Man, I'm walking with God. Let's go, Father. Let's get gathered today. Man, if He doesn't come back before noon, I'm walking on water today. You know, we have those great days. Then we have other days when we're like, oh, I'm worse than an unbeliever. Please don't come back, Lord, because I couldn't face my Savior today. I'm so ashamed of myself. I'm so condemned. See, our opinion of ourselves fluctuates. But God sees us as, there's my righteous children. Holy, acceptable. Wow. That kind of melts you, doesn't it? Verse 14, Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How does it say we are to approach God's throne of grace? Boldly. Yeah, and that's the same word. That's the same word that was translated confidence back in 1 John that we looked at. That's parhesia. God says, come with great openness of speech. Hold nothing back. Come in and pour your heart out to me. That boldness, that holding nothing back. But we know that if our heart condemn us, then we have no what? No confidence, no openness to speak to God. Do you see how condemnation is a great trick that the adversary uses to keep us away from God? It's a major roadblock in our prayer life, condemnation. You know, it's like, you know, driving on the road. You ever go somewhere and it's like detoured, roadblock? We have a lot of construction where I come from. You better not be wanting to go anywhere in a hurry on the weekend, because next thing you know, this freeway is blocked and this, you got roadblocks everywhere. Condemnation is a major roadblock in our prayer life. We have open access here, an invitation to come to God and talk to Him openly, holding nothing back. And this open invitation that we have to God is because we're so great and we've earned it after being believers for a while. Nope, not earned. See, everything we have is because of the completed work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made this available for us. Our high priest, as he's mentioned in the verses preceding this. It's because of his completed work, nothing we did, his completed work. And you remember when Jesus Christ died, the veil of the curtain was torn from top to bottom, the entrance into the Holy of Holies wide open. Nothing changes that. Not our good works or our bad works. It's still open access. Nothing we do or don't do is going to change that. It's still an open invitation to His throne of grace. This is a new birth reality that we have. This is part of the package that we got. Here you got this, this, this. Oh, and here's access to God Almighty. Free access whenever you want to. To come boldly to the, what does it say? The throne of what?
Grace.
Grace. Not judgment. Not a place of punishment. But a throne of grace. Unmerited divine favor. God says, come on in. The only variable then would be us coming in. Right? Sure. It's not a question of whether or not God is there. It's not a question of whether or not God would not hear us. It's not a question of whether God would fulfill His word or not. It's a question of, do we believe it and take advantage of the access? And come on in. Come on in. Accepting the invitation and coming in boldly. Coming in, speaking freely, holding nothing back, telling Him everything. Everything. Let's read it again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boy, you think that it might be the other way around. That we would be saying, God, could I just have a moment? Can I pass you a note? Could I leave you an email? And whenever you get to it, could I just leave you a message on your answering machine? Seems like it would be us asking God if there was some way that we could. And it's the other way around. He's saying, the door's open. Would you please come in and tell me everything? Just tell me everything that's on your heart. I want to know. I love you and I want to help. Please come in and talk to me. Okay, I'm here. Hi. Oh my goodness. And look at the first thing listed here. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Mercy is the withholding of merited judgment. Mercy is when you deserve, but you don't get it. Now, ask yourself a question. Do you need mercy when you're doing everything right? No. You certainly don't. Here's another way of God telling us what he told us in 1 John. To confess our sins. If you confess your sins, what does it mean to confess? Tell him, I've blown it again. Here I am. But tell him with boldness, meaning hold nothing back. If we confess our sins, God said that he would be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you think being cleansed from all unrighteousness is obtaining mercy? Anybody? Yes, it certainly is. Oh, you bet it is. So, at those times when we feel the worst, when we're, you know, we've messed up, we've fallen short, we're condemning ourselves, we're feeling lousy, we're feeling no good, guess what? The door is still open. You would think that God would shut the door. Well, if that's how they're going to act, fine. Come back tomorrow and see if I've changed my mind and opened the door. Or next week, or next year, or never. God doesn't change. We have unlimited free access. It's a new birth reality. The door stays open. So when we feel the worst, when we've sinned, when we're, you know, out in left field, the door is still open. Take it a step further. What about we, God forbid, decide to just totally walk away from God and his word? Hang up the phone on God. Turn our back away from him. Go so far out in left field, we're just like the worst heathen you could think of. The door is still open. And God says, would you please come in and tell me everything? That's mercy, don't you think? So the adversary works on us, says, oh, you better not go in there. You? How bad you've messed up. God help you? After everything you've done, you're lucky you still got eternal life, and that's probably in question. God help you after you turned your back on him? As bad as you are, you think God's going to even care about you anymore? And on it goes. And we just pile up knowledge against ourselves. We pile up where we think ill of ourselves and condemn ourselves. Where's the joy in that? There's no joy in that. The only joy is in the presence of the Lord. In his presence there is fullness of joy. Out of his presence is fullness of misery. So we ought to come on into the throne of grace there. Boy, see, you got to get out of that egotistical self-pride and self-pity. Walk into the throne of grace. Remember we looked at last night, God resisteth the proud. Oh, I'm no good. I've messed up. I can't walk for God. I tried, but you know, I just fall short. I'm you know, all I does is pump your head. It's ego. It's fake humility. I'm so no good. It's just a bunch of pride and ego, and God resisteth the proud. What did God say? If you messed up, go tell him. Father, I'm sorry. I screwed up. Please forgive me. Here I am. I'm at your throne of grace, and I need some mercy. God said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, if I've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, how could I call myself no good? Maybe we ought to believe what God says. So when you come to the throne of grace, don't hold anything back. Because really, you know, when we wallow in condemnation and self-pity, we're just refusing to believe what God has accomplished for every born-again believer in Christ. We're refusing to believe that. No, Jesus Christ wasn't enough for my sins. No, I need someone else to go and die for me. Gee. That doesn't sound very reverent to God Almighty, does it? Sounds like we need a special Savior just for my big sins. Whoop-de-doo. Verse 16 again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. After mercy here, it says that we could find grace to help in time of need. You know, just because you have a need doesn't mean you're off the word somewhere. Well, the reason you have these needs, you're off the word. You're not... Just because you have a need doesn't mean you're messed up somewhere in your walk with God. I mean, I know you can totally walk away from God and let the devil beat you up. I understand that. But just because we have a need doesn't mean that we're off the word and out in left field someplace. You know, instead of trying to figure out, well, why do I have this need? Is it because I didn't pray enough? And, well, why focus on all that? Why not focus on what God's made us to be in Christ? Why not focus on the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, that we stand before God righteous, holy? He loves us and says, come on in to my throne of grace. If you need mercy, it's there. If you need help in time of need, ask. Tell me what you need. Pour out your heart to me because I love you. We have access to Him. Instead of sitting there trying to go around in circles and figure out, well, gee, am I... That's no fun, is it? You ever done that? No one's ever done that, I know. I'm probably the only one. But why not just focus on our great, wonderful God and the accomplishments of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and come to the throne of grace with boldness so that we could obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is what God's been waiting for since Adam and Eve blew it. God's always desired to have fellowship, have a partnership. That's the reason Adam and Eve were three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. It was the spirit part of Adam and Eve that gave them a connection with God so they could have fellowship. And now Jesus Christ has paid the price so we can be body, soul, and spirit. We both have access by one spirit unto the Father, remember? Let's go to Ephesians. That's where we're going to end up here this evening. Ephesians. This is what God's been planning for and working for and waiting for so that we could have open access to Him again. The phone lines are repaired. Service has been restored. We've been given access into the presence of God, into His throne room of grace. His throne room of grace. It's a pretty awesome privilege, isn't it? You know, sometimes sporting events, they have they call access passes, you know, that allow you to go, you know, sometimes backstage, sporting events, concerts and stuff. Then you've seen people wear these little access passes and stuff. But the one everybody likes to get, which there are very few of them, is the one they call the all access pass. And I was at some event years ago when I had an all access pass. And so at first, you know, you go back and you feel like, gee, I don't belong here, you know, I'm just... But anybody who sees you that's back there, they see the all-access pass, they don't even think twice, you know, just... They don't even care who you are, you know, just back, as long as you got that all... And then after a while, you start, you know, testing the waters out a little bit. Does that mean I can go over where that, you know, fancy buffet is and just... You walk over, I'll have one of these, you know. Next thing you know, 10 minutes later, you're... I'm having all of this. And you snoop around. I can look over here. I can look over there. God has given us an all-access pass to His throne of grace. Come in anytime and feel comfortable. You're invited in. Isn't that wonderful? Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 2. Okay, chapter 3. That's the last time I'm going to change it, too. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom? Christ Jesus our Lord. It's because of Him. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Confidence here is not the word parhesia. It just means reliance or trust or confidence. But it says we have here boldness, and that is parhesia, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, with trust, with great reliance. We have it. We ought to utilize it. Sure would be frustrating to have openness of speech and no one to listen. Right? Sure would be frustrating if God says, you can pour out your heart. Not that I'm going to listen, but pour it out. Or what if we were invited in but told to shut up? Come right on into the throne, but I don't want to hear a peep out of you. We have access and we have boldness. We have freedom of speaking. God says, please pour out your heart to me. And again, it's all because of what our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has accomplished for us. King James says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I'll read you three other versions. In whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in Him. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. So let's not hold knowledge against ourselves. Let's think of ourselves as God has made us to be in the new birth. Let's think what God says we are. Let's believe that we are who God says we are, who He made us to be in the new birth. And let us come, therefore, with great boldness to His throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.